I came that you might have life. 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 Everything in the age, in this age, is changing with such rapidity that man can hardly find himself about in his own kingdom. Everything has changed but the knowledge of life. And today, the knowledge, the word that was given to us by Jesus Christ 1900 years ago, is again merging through the chaos of fear and of death. 1900 years ago, Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, "Your fathers," meaning those that the ancestors that had made the trip across the desert, had bread. They had everything else that you have, but they are dead. It's very interesting to note that when we check into the history of the case, we find those people had clothing that waxed not old, and had bread and wine and gold, but they died. And then we come to the 19th century, and we discover again that people are using what they call prayer or demonstration to bring about these same things. And they have managed to do a very good job of it, but they too are dead. And so we go back to the keys to the kingdom that Jesus gave us when he said, "But you have a bread, you have something that your fathers knew not of, which if you were to eat, you would never taste death." That is a big statement for the human mind. It has never seen an immortal. It does not believe in immortality, and it is unable to see that thing. But today we are running head on into a thing called life. Here, there, and everywhere, even into hell, and in the worst conditions, and even into death, we are discovering that Jesus was a true sayer, and he was not a religious person at all, in any sense of the word. He was giving a law of life, and we are discovering this law of life, that to recognize this thing causes it to operate wherever we are, even, as I said, in hell, or in the most dire situation that you can get into. In the midst of war, in the midst of anything, that one who makes the contact, who recognizes the presence, will experience the results of that. One with this life is a majority. We had thought that we could take life and cut it up into little sections or little packages called health in varying and sundry degrees of strength. But it always ends in the same place. It is death. The drop of water going to the ocean, the moment it touches the ocean, it loses the perimeter, it becomes one with the ocean, and the dirty drop of water is instantly purified, and the dirty drop of water becomes all-powerful, even as the ocean. This illustration and other illustrations about things that we call spiritual are really worthless, yet they will give you some indication of what we mean of the merging. It is a sort of osmosis, as if a sponge were set in a dish of water. It would instantly absorb the thing. The moment that you see that Jesus was not a religious a teacher in the sense that he was going to deprive you of everything, but he was opening a door for you, and you were entering into, in a strange, eerie sort of way, you are beginning to sense this thing called life. It is everywhere evenly present, like the air in the room in which you sit now, and you are unconscious of the air. If you become conscious of it, you begin to have trouble. It is either hot or it's cold or it's something, and finally it can be the universal thing called smog and can kill you, if you believe in that direction. So if you have God as something that is only an occasional thing that you touch, or life, you will experience the same thing. To be absent then from the body, the embodiment, and present with life takes care of the whole situation. One with God being a majority, the moment that you touch this by recognition, you will instantly see a degree of better health, of better conditions in your body. We are, in other words, you are beginning to believe. You are actually believing in something called God. Now, God is not a man and not in a place. God is everywhere, and it is a life substance, and it will come through anything where there is an aperture. It will come right through the pavement on a busy street if you stop traffic and things long enough to give it a chance. And that is an illustration of how God operates in man. The moment he makes a recognition, I do not care under what situation he is or what he is doing or what he is suffering. The beggar at the temple gate, we see, was under 40 years penalty, lying in the dirt and filth, as the Oriental beggars do, in front of the temple beautiful, and he suddenly heard. Now, the ordinary man, even if there were a chance under medication to have healed the beggar, which is very sketchy to believe, Even if there had been such a chance, he would have had to convalesce for years and have water cures and baths and everything else. But suddenly he heard this thing called life. And he leaps through a picture of 40 years and runs away praising God, praising this universal power. Now, we do not choose these illustrations or these testimonies because we do not have to have them. We begin to experience life in our own body. The one hearing this can, if he will stop and let go of his thought on the subject, begin to experience the life substance that is everywhere evenly present. But when you have it in your conscious mind, it becomes thought and is stepped down. And as for man, his days are few and full of trouble as the sparks fly upward, and his end is death. Yet here is this marvelous creature saying that I will go through everything and show you that life is immortal, even death, and he allowed them to crucify him and resurrect. But they could not take it, and we have not been able to take it because we did not hear. We do not understand bread. You have an invisible means of support. If you ever know that, you're all right. Whether there is the most terrific famine in the world or whether there is a lack of employment or anything else, you will find substance, even in the desert, sometimes precipitated. Always it will be manifest the moment you make prayer. Before you pray, I will answer. Before you have said anything, this is not some gymnastics that you learned in a church. This is not some silly stuff that's come down to us from a crowd of people who have gotten together with the idea of making this a personal thing and stamping it with a man's name. This is revelation. So we are back at the place of Jesus, standing with his disciples and telling them in plain English, you have bread they knew not of. Every one of those people professed they believe in Jesus. But did they? If they did, they would have accepted substance, and they would have accepted life, and they would be through with a little package of health that they had within themselves. The perimeter of their body, the perimeter of their mind, I should say, would have given away, and they would have melted into the sea of life. This all sounds poetic and impossible, and it is. Any human man that thinks he can do this by thought is entirely mistaken. When you are absent from the body, when you are out of it, then it takes place. We see this nowadays going on more and more with people who have had nothing to do with any of the so-called systems of truth or anything of the kind, because they thought that they could appeal to God and make him change his mind. You find out pretty soon that you cannot demonstrate God. He may pray and agonize and everything else, yet he will not change this mind. You are told that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and not any man is going to say where that shall go, not even you, with all your knowledge or your lack of knowledge. So is it with the Spirit. So we are up to the point of recognition. Well, the disciples stood there, and they said the same as you say. Well, where is the bread? And how do I get it? They are so filled with questions, they cannot make the recognition. They cannot see. They cannot hear, because they do not believe. They are still back with the ancestor teaching, which says, as for you, your days are few and full of trouble. As the sparks fly upward, your end is death. As for man, his days are few and full of trouble. It isn't worth the struggle, as people are finding today, and that's why we find more and more people following after the various and sundry, very ultra-modern teachings, which says nothing is worth anything anyway. It is purposeless. So why bother about anything? But just go on your way and let it come. And that is what most people are doing today. They avoid it in every possible way. They will not think of it. Who by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? You are asked a question. You answer these questions. Stop getting the answer from somebody else. Stop going to a preacher or a man that is supposed to be holy and sacred. Ask yourself that question. Do you believe? If you don't, period. That's all right. There is nothing further you can do, so you will die with your fathers. Now we are hearing again this wonderful law that was given by Jesus 1900 years ago, which if a man eat thereof, I must recognize it. Well, where is it? I want to see it. Let me see you do something. You will never see it. You only see from the elevation of belief. If you do not believe in the truth, if you do not believe in life, you will never see it. You will see the evil results of life as put through the human thought, which is full of all uncleanness and all evil. The wisdom of man being foolishness in the eyes of God, how many times have we seen that happen, even today, in the midst of such miraculous discoveries they make in science? How many times have you heard it said that before the machine can really be put into shape, it is outmoded, it is thrown into the dust heap again? We see all this, And we see this teeming thing running around madly, 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 looking for life, looking for help. How can I get it? Does this man have it? Can I go to this or that elevation of thought and get it? You cannot. You can take it wherever you are, in hell or wherever you are right now. And you're beginning to see that you have this amazing thing. And it's only by seeing that Jesus came with that idea and said, now listen, your fathers did everything you're doing. It's very good. It's all right. They did everything. And we've done everything. We've seen what we call demonstrations take place. But we've seen all those wonderful people that were able to pray in their way and bring forth certain results, die just like anybody else. And here this magnificent Jesus walks right up in that scene and says, but you, why don't you hear me? Why don't you hear something? You have bread. You have substance. If you ever recognized it, you're moving, living, and walking and having your being in this at the same time it passes through you, like the water passes through the fish of the sea, and like the fish of the sea swims through the whole ocean. So are you beginning. I do not say you will not make lots of mistakes and fall down, and you will meet some hurdles that will be too great for you for the time, but you will never lose it the moment you have heard the word life. You may not be able to do anything with it at the moment, but gradually and gradually and gradually it will come upon you, and you will be saturated with life, and there will be one life, and then there will be one. Now, in the event that you believe, why, you begin to let go of this thing called health and all of the bondage that it's had, whether it's been 5 minutes in your life or 1,000 years. And you may not like this, but it is only as old as the last thought you have in your mind about it. The minute the last thought you have in your mind about life is broken, a disease is broken, at that minute, at that moment, you begin to experience something new. I have known a woman who was, she was in a hospital for a number of years, and finally she became so paralyzed that she only had the use of her head. She could move her head back and forth. And they kept her there, trying to make her as comfortable as they could, but they knew, absolutely knew, by every bit of science and everything else, that she was finished. But one day, while she was in bed, the nurse came to the door and said, the hospital's on fire. That woman hadn't moved a finger for 10 years. She jumped out of bed and ran downstairs, and as far as I know, she's still running or walking. How did it happen? 20 years of the most terrible diseases of every kind that had been put through every scientific test. And yet, why? Why? You look back and see what Jesus had to say about everything today. You're taking a new yardstick with you. You have some definite and infallible law with you all the time. You can measure anything by it. He told you in so many words that the wisdom of man is foolishness in the eyes of God, and that if you were absent from the body, suddenly you melt into this life. You are absent from the shape of a drop of water the minute you touch the ocean. And if you see that thing for one instant, you begin to experience life. I'm not going to say to you that you are going to do some fantastic thing, but I know it's going to rise and rise and rise as the floods rise. You will begin to see it coming higher and higher, and you will begin to enjoy or manifest a thing called life. And it is supposed to search the joints and the marrow of your body. That is a fabulous thing, too, since I have seen a man that was suffering intense pain, and there's no question about it, as long as you're thinking, you're going to suffer. And he began to feel his life, and it rose just like water in him until there was no more pain. Well, that is one way, but you are absent from the embodiment. You are absent. When you're absent from the body, you're present, not with a man with long white whiskers. We are not religious. This is not religious. This is life. This is life eternal, to know me. Where is the me? Back in Jerusalem 1900 years ago? Where do you think it is? Do you think it's some man wearing long robes with curls, going about with a scroll in his hand? Do you think God is sitting on a chair and you're going to go up to him and admit that you haven't, you've been so evil and everything, and that you are sick unto death? What are you going to do when you begin to awaken? So you're right back there at Jerusalem 1900 years ago, and there that beloved is saying to you, but you have bread they knew not of. And you want to make something fantastic about it. You want to make some strange thing that some high priest or some mystic or some person. You don't want the man in the street. You don't want that thing that lives. And yet Jesus himself was a man in the street. He was walking through the fields. And he was going everywhere, even into the wedding feast at Cana, where everybody was dead drunk. He was right there. We are talking about a real person, a manifestation of life, and not some holier-than-thou thing that runs away and hides in some cell for fear it will commit evil. It is already committing it in its mind, and you are committing evil. Every bit of sickness you do, you will be ashamed to mention your sickness in a little while, because people will know what your thought is like, and it isn't right. And every sickness has its corresponding evil, whether we like it or not, even if we feel sorry for the person and they've been a nice person. It is the truth. There is no escape. We are now coming to the new day. It's either take your bread or die. Well, we've been dying for centuries, you see. And it's either you believe in Jesus Christ, not a man. You see, Jesus Christ was a symbol. He was the merchants of spirit and flesh, the place where the invisible could be stepped down into visibility. You see, it had to be that. The Immaculate Conception proves this for us, and that's the thing that many people, even preachers today, who are supposed to be very holy men, they will say, well, they are beginning to say, well, of course, it's all symbolical. The Immaculate Conception couldn't have taken place. We see biologically it's an utter impossibility, and so we know that it was symbology about Jesus being born by the Immaculate Conception. That very man won't be very far along in his sermon till he'll say everything is possible to God. So he is a liar. He does not believe. If he believed everything is possible to God, he would believe the simple notation that a man could be immaculate conceived. Where did the first man come from? How was he? Since there was no so-called organism to bring him into being. So we begin to see. And so you too go in your closet and shut the door because the street is full of lions. Nobody believes this. And I don't blame them, because you can't prove it. You can't prove anything. Anything you try to prove, you will not prove. Anything you recognize from the standpoint of life will begin at least to merge into a place of visibility. And you will begin to experience something. So we go back to that wonderful thing, and he's standing there and says, yes, I know. Yes, I know. It is wonderful. You see these wonderful things that the fathers did, but they're dead. What good is it? So we come and we do all these wonderful things. And believe you me, we have done all these wonderful things. We have healed the sick and raised the dead and prospered people. And we have gone on to lovely extended voyages and everything else that could happen. And we have seen the impossible take place right in front of our eyes. But we are dead. And all our ancestors and all those wonderful people are dead. But you have bread. So way across that little span of time, which is really 2 years, 1,000 years being as a day is 1,000 years. We see that 2,000 years is only day before yesterday, really, if we're going to figure time according to Jesus. So we are going back a couple of days, and we are this time going to begin to hear that. Now, we're not going to go out and do any funny things at all. You're going to relax into a thing called life. It's like sinking into a warm bath. That's all it is. It's the most natural thing in the world. When you become unconscious of God, you for the first time begin to live because he operates you. But as long as you are out here and you're this poor thing and you're trying, you're so noble or something, and you want to do the right thing and you want to save the world or something, there is nothing to save but your own soul, but you. And it cannot be saved until you recognize the presence. And the minute you do, everything falls away. Think you not that I'd call upon my Father and he would send me 12 legions of angels? What would that have done? Take this literally in mathematical way. That was the 12 powers. He was speaking about the 12 facets of this universal intelligence. And if he had called that into being, there wouldn't be any Jerusalem today. But he went through the death thing. He said, no, I won't do it. You say, oh, that's very well. That's a story. All right, how about performing a surgical operation back there with no tools, no nurse, no hospital or anything else, which has not been done even up today when he replaced the ear of the soldier that was cut off. Oh, well, I think that story somebody shouldn't. Well, that's all right. Go your way. There's nobody trying to convince you or convert you or anything else. You are having a chance to hear. And my sheep hear my voice. Whatever you hear, you'll see and begin to understand takes its place in the manifest world. So we see this thing. We're beginning to recognize something. Again, I repeat to you certain things. I am repeating life and life and life and life. And life, and life, and life, until you hear life, and pretty soon you begin to experience life, and the little thing you have shut up in your body called health gives way, and this magnificence comes through. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Do you believe that, or you think I have to demonstrate this, or I have to pray for that? You do not. I can do all things through this Christ Jesus. If I let go, if I take my thought off of it, I can then let that come through, and it will manifest as long as I am absent from the embodiment of thought. This is life, eternal. Can you hear? Can you hear? Are you ready? Do you believe? Will you go in and shut the door? This is life eternal.